Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Monday here on Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, the new blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturdays, so you can look for one there in a couple days. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, you want to hit that link, get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, well, we'd greatly appreciate that. There's also the Sports Time Radio Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, Dan and I are on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan the Man with three E's.
Oh, all right. So, you know, my FanDuel lineup yesterday didn't do very well. I just ended up getting over 100 points, but it was weird because I had the right games, but I just had the wrong players in them in those games. You know, I think with the exception of Anthony Rendon, well, Anthony Rizzo did end up homering, so he picked up some points for me. But yeah, if I could have, you know, I knew what games to go to. I just wasn't smart enough to pick the right guys. So we'll have to see if I have a little better luck today. So here's what I got going into tonight's lineup. I had a difficult time finding a pitcher. You know, I'm worried about John Lester pitching in Atlanta, and that was a lot of money to spend on a guy. So I went with Jake Odorizzi for $7,500. He's pitching in Oakland. You know, it's a big ballpark, so I'm hoping that helps out and he has a really good outing. Obviously, as well, you get $7,500. You got a lot of money to play with here. Catcher, I went with Austin Hedges. He's hitting eighth for the Padres tonight. He cost me $3,200. I know it's a little much to pay for Austin Hedges, but he's playing in Colorado, so I'm willing to take that shot there. First base, I went with Justin Bour, who's hitting fifth for the Marlins tonight. He cost me $3,400. Second base, I went with Brandon Phillips. He's been super hot, so I'm going to see if I can catch on. That means he's going 0-for-4 tonight. Sorry, guys, if you're playing Brandon Phillips. He was $2,900. He's hitting second for the Braves tonight. Third base, I went with Miguel Sano for $3,700. He's hitting fourth for the Twins tonight. Shortstop, I went with Freddie Galvis of the Phillies for $2,600. He's hitting second in their lineup tonight. And then again, I end up spending money in the outfield. I keep having a lot of money to spend in the outfield for some reason. I'm taking a shot with Nelson Cruz tonight for $4,200. I know he's got a tough pitching matchup going against Lance McCullers, but he's hitting cleanup for the Mariners, and I think he'll be okay. I went with another guy who's been really hot in the 3 days back from the All-Star break. That's J.D. Martinez. He's hitting fifth for the Tigers tonight. He cost me $3,900. And then my lineup rounds out with Andrew Benintendi, who's hitting sixth for the Red Sox tonight, and he cost me $3,600. So just quickly to recap, I got Odorizzi pitching, Hedges catching, Bour at first, Phillips at second, Sano at third, Galvis at short, and the outfield is Cruz, Martinez, and Benintendi. As we always do here, this is for the 605 main event on FanDuel. So if you're getting in that league, you have about 29 minutes to get your lineup set. So there you go. So now I know you did the free mix-up, right, Dan? And I know I jinxed you already because we picked the same pitcher. Do you remember who else you went with besides Brandon Sutter?
All right, I thought you had it up in the email.
So no, I was on the FanDuel page, but I'm sure I can hunt it down here. I just thought maybe you remembered it, so.
No, it's unlocked
from the app. Let's see if I, yeah, here it is. Let's see who Dan went with. I remember the one. Yeah, it was yeah, it's Eduardo Rodriguez. So he was $10,700. Now the mix-up price tags are a lot higher than the regular ones. And then you went with Sutter. I went with him in my mix-up as well. He was $8,200. Then your three utility guys, which is how they do it. Travis Shaw for $6,000. He's hitting fourth for the Brewers tonight. Brian Dozier for $5,200. He's leading off for the Twins. And then Xander Bogaerts, your guy, for $4,900. He's hitting third for the Red Sox. So those are Dan's five guys for the mix-up. So hopefully you do a lot better than I. For whatever reason, I don't do well in those mix-ups. I don't know what it is. I thought for sure it would be something I would really kind of do a better job in, but, man, I stink. I'm just terrible at it.
Yeah, I'm not that great either.
So I'm hoping, you know, I did plug my lineup in there, so hopefully it works out. So we'll see how we do tomorrow. But you know, I wanted to get to something while I was thinking about it. I ran into one of those just stupid things over the weekend, and you know, just one of those things that drive me nuts. Now, you know, Dan knows because I kept tweeting at him, but if you follow me on Twitter. I ended up on Saturday watching the Yankees-Red Sox game. It was the FS1 game, so I didn't have to put up with Michael Kay, which is a huge plus. Otherwise, I probably wouldn't have watched the game at all. And I'm sure you know by now that the game went 16 innings. And I believe the Yankees ended up winning. It was 4-1 or 3-1. I want to say it was 4-1. Well, you know, I went on with my Saturday, Dan, like I normally did. And then I came in, you know, head to bed, the normal time on the weekend, 11, 12 o'clock. You know, it was a little later after I watched some, you know, whatever West Coast baseball there was going on or whatever the heck else I was doing. And I sat down at the computer just to check some messages and play a little Civilization before I went to sleep. And I turn the radio on always. It's just one of those things I do. And I've got the local sports station on because I had to get away from the station I was listening to. They were just talking too much frickin' politics for me. And it's I think over the weekend they go with CBS Sports Radio, the national coverage. But our guy, the guy you and I have heard quite a bit, the huge guy was off. And I'm disappointed I can't remember this guy's full name because he was a complete idiot. It was Alex or Alexander something or other was filling in. And he started talking about the Red Sox-Yankee game. And all he did was complain about how long it went and how baseball needs to find a way to take care of the extra innings. Now, he had a whole bunch of his facts wrong, but the one he really missed out on was he was talking about how as the game went into extra innings, about half the crowd left. Dan, he couldn't have been more wrong. The fans actually didn't start leaving until the Yankees put up three runs in the top of the 16th inning. And then I think they realized it was over. You know, so they started to file out. But I think at least three quarters of the crowd had stayed at that point. And, you know, there were probably 40,000 people there, maybe even 45 to begin with. So, of course, right away, this moron goes to the, well, you know, we need to put a guy on base in extra innings, you know, first or second, and they should start the inning out like that because we need to end these games faster. You know, Dan, I watched this whole freaking game. It was a great game. Yeah, I get it. It took a long time. But when it's a great game, does it matter? I mean, this guy was a complete tool, Dan. I wanted to, you know, if I knew where his studio was, I'd have probably went down there and punched him in the face. I don't understand. And again, I mean, I guess it kind of leads to your point that it's really the media that wants these games sped up more than anybody else.
Well, yeah, I mean, what is the percentage of a training game compared to the amount of games that are played throughout the entire season? It's very minimal. And I bet you number two, that the guy that is extremely aggressive and domineering with his attitude about the expense of the game, but he didn't watch it.
you know, that's the thing. I mean, yeah, he probably didn't even watch the damn game. You know, he's getting updates there on the radio. And, you know, both teams had their chances to score in extra innings. Nobody could get the big two-out hit when they needed it. You know, until the 16th inning when the Yankees rallied off Doug Fister there and put some runs on the board. But, I mean, there was nothing wrong with the game. I mean, it was a 1-1 really well-pitched game by the starters. And, it just gets frustrating when I hear these guys about how, oh, you know, we got to make changes in this. And, you know, I mean, I think this was the only extra inning game over the weekend. I don't believe there was another one. If there was, maybe it only went 10 innings or so. There was nothing, you know, wrong with it. You know, but then, you know, he's complaining about the fact that, you know, the games that started after it finished before it. Well, yeah, idiot, it went 16 innings. How fast do you think they were going to play 16 innings? You know, and Yankee Red Sox games generally take longer to play anyways. And I just, you know, it was just to the point where I don't understand what the hell these guys want anymore, Dan. It's like, do we want good baseball or do we just want two-hour games so we can get them over with?
I think they just want two-hour games.
So, you know, it's just kind of, you know, I was just kind of like, great. So, yeah, it was just really, you know, it was really frustrating just listening to this guy. And then, you know, of course, it's the old, you know, you can't call in and argue with him because he'll just, you know, he'll just hang up on you. That's just what they do. But, yeah, I was like, okay, what, you know, what can be said or what can, you know, can anybody do? I mean, there's really nothing, no discourse there because obviously, you know, he's in control and it's, you know, it's a lot like the local guys here, you know, they want you to call just so they can make fun of you. So.
Many people call in.
Yeah. You know, he had a couple guys call in, but, that, you know, as soon as they brought it up, he just cut them off, you know. So,
well, you know, on the other side of it too is,
yeah, you know,
I guess, you know, you can find ways, but how about you come up with something instead of jumping on what everyone's brought up already? Find a way to speed it up, or instead of just taking someone else's idea and running with the topic because you don't have anything better to talk about.
You know, and that was the thing. You know, the only groundbreaking information he had was he would prefer to see them start with a runner on first because he's convinced if you just put a runner on second, they're going to bunt right away and try to score. So that was, you know, that was his groundbreaking assessment to the situation was they really, you know, they really shouldn't put a guy on second because it'll just lead to, you know. So, yeah, I was just like, really, this is, you know, after a fantastic game that I sat through 16 innings to watch. And, you know, I mean, I did cheat a little because the Xfinity race was on. So, you know, during commercials, I checked in and that, so I missed a pitch here or there. And, you know, then when that ended, since we have the free extra innings preview, I would switch over during commercials. So I didn't see every pitch, but I did see every inning, you know, at least, you know, two outs at the most. You know, I never missed more than an out. So, you know, I was there the whole time. And I got to tell you, AJ Pierzynski is quite entertaining on commentary as well.
Well, I mean, with that attitude, why not just put a guy on third and two outs?
Right. You know, that's the thing. It's like, let's just put the guy on third and, you know, give, you know, three guys a chance or, you know, I mean, at this point, just send your, you know, let's throw batting practice and whoever hits the most, you know, send your top three hitters up there and whoever hits the most home runs wins the game. You know, I mean, I'm so frustrated, but yet here you go, Dan, we got to speed the game up. There was a 5-minute delay on a review of that Matt Holliday play because they couldn't figure out what was going on. And right away, when the delay lasted that long, all I could think of is, why are Dan and I the only two guys who notice this when it comes to these games? You know, I mean, you want to speed it up. Let's fix this. But yeah, just, you know, it turned something I really enjoyed into just a whole bunch of frustration because, you know, I got to listen to this idiot talk about it who, you know, I mean, maybe he's a pretty smart sports guy and, you know, he knows what he's talking about. But, you know, he didn't, like you said, he didn't regurgitate anything new. He just spit up what everybody's been saying. Oh, you know, we got to put a runner on base and speed this up. And, you know, it's just too slow. We got to speed things up. Okay, well, fix the damn replay. You know. You know, or, you know, the other thing they say, it said, is apparently no matter what the baseball union wants, we're going to have a pitcher's clock. There's going to be a pitch clock. Okay, well, how much is that going to speed things up? You know, I mean, do they really take time? So,
I mean, what happens if they go over the time?
Right, that's the other thing. I mean, what are the, you know, what are the penalties? You know, do you assess, is it a ball? You know, automatically the batter gets a ball on him, or, you know, how? So, yeah, I.
Not only that, the penalty pitcher's clock will most likely be in the outfield. So, let's just say it's a 10-second clock. And at 9 seconds, I'm not set. Will Contreras and company will just throw their arms out for a timeout.
Right, you know. So that's, you know, it's just kind of, I don't know. You know, just the more I kind of listen to him, it gets more and more frustrating. So I was like, yeah, okay, great, whatever. So, you know, here we go again. But all right, well, we did have a trade over the weekend, and it was stuff that everybody had talked about for quite a while. The Washington Nationals did address their bullpen issue. They went out and they picked up Ryan Matson, who's a right-hander, and Sean Doolittle, who's a left-hander from the A's. In return, the A's get Blake Treinen, who actually is a major league pitcher. He was in the Nationals' horrible bullpen, but he's been up and down. They got a left-hander named Jesus Luzardo. And then an infielder by the name of Sheldon Neuse. Maybe it's Neuse. It's N-E-U-S-E. So however you want to go with it. You know, Dan, I was looking at this, and while I understand that, you know, the Nationals did need bullpen help, and at one point, you know, Doolittle was one of the top closers in the American League, but both of these guys have had arm trouble. So, you know, while they addressed their situation, did they address their situation, I guess, is what I'm wondering.
I don't know. I was still a little confused about it, too.
Wait, you broke up a little there. I couldn't hear you.
I didn't really get it either.
So, you know, and it looks like, let's see. Oh, that's right. Luzardo is just a 19-year-old who's actually pitching in rookie league. He's doing okay, but he's only pitched in 3 games. So, you know, that's, you know, the jury is obviously still way out on them. I'm sure, you know, Billy Bean has scouted them really well. They have Neuse, or however you want to pronounce it. He's a 20-year-old. Baseball Reference lists him as a third baseman shortstop. He's currently in A-ball. He was hitting .291 in A-ball with 9 homers. So, you know, the A's, you know, they acquired a guy. It's no surprise. I mean, they acquired some guys who were a few years away. But, yeah, I just don't know if this will – you know, I mean, I guess if they stay healthy, it solves their problem. But I'm just I'm wondering if both these guys stay healthy. You know, I mean, wouldn't that be a concern for you?
You know, I mean, that's like with all the talks with Sonny Gray. You know, give up the farm for this guy, it was most likely going to be active season. With you, each season that he's with you on the DL.
Yeah, because, you know, Doolittle has had, well, you know, in 2015, because of injury, he only managed to pitch in 12 games. Last year, he did pitch in 44, but he still had some injuries. So far this year, he's been good. You know, he pitched in 23 games. He did pick up three saves, 3.38 ERA. So he pitched, you know, okay for them. He's not the dominant lefty he used to be. And, you know, I know Mattson missed one entire year. When was that? He missed a couple years because of Tommy John. He went from 2011, and he didn't pitch again until 2015. So he had missed some time, you know, obviously a large chunk of time there. But he ended up being the A's main closer last year. He picked up 30 saves. This year they kind of gave the job to Santiago Castilla. But Mattson was really good. In 40 games, he had a 2.06 ERA, and he had picked up a save. You know, obviously one or both of these guys are going to end up closing for the Nationals. Maybe they'll try to match up or split the roles or however they want to do it. But do you like this deal for them? Does that make them contenders now?
I think it does.
You know, cause, you know, I heard a lot of people talk that they don't think they're done trying to fix this bullpen. Do you see them going out and maybe trying to make one more move or maybe even more?
I feel like they have to, don't you?
You know, I think at this point it kind of depends how these two guys pitch. You know, I mean, like I said, they both look like they were pretty good in Oakland. You know, especially Mattson with that you know, almost sub-2 ERA. You know, if they fill those roles, they might be able to get by with the, you know, the group they have setting up. I don't know if they have to go out and get a, you know, if they'll have to go out and get a bona fide closer. You know, do they need a David Robertson? Do they need a, you know, somebody like that, Jim Johnson? I don't know if, you know, Johnson would be the way to go, but you know, you wonder, or, you know, can they just add a strong setup guy? Can they go get like a Brad Hand from San Diego? And that would be enough to set the bullpen up. So it'll, you know, it'd be something to look for. You know, I am a little more worried about their rotation. You know, they just lost Joe Ross. You know, he's going for Tommy John, so that opens up a little bit of a hole there. I did hear, or actually I saw one of our, God, I've drawn a blank on which one it was, one of our former guests we had on a while ago now mentioned that he wanted to see Edwin Jackson get the open rotation spot for the Nationals. So I was all for that.
Now you're right, Greg, right? Because I know who that was, but I don't. It's been a while since, you know, like you mentioned before.
It was Ricky Keebler. That's who it was. So.
Yeah,
I was confusing them with, I wanted to say Tim Kelly was the Philadelphia guy.
Yeah.
And I was confusing those first there, but yeah, it was, Ricky from who does the Nationals reporting. I don't know if it's still the same website or anything, so I don't want to throw it out there and be wrong and have people come back at me. So, but yeah, that'll be interesting. So now, you know, while we're on baseball, and I know Schomburg Stu did a quick turnaround on this. Now that you've seen Jose Quintana pitch, how do you feel about the trade?
Same exactly I felt on Thursday when I heard about it.
I guess that would be the better question. Do you feel differently now that he went out and just had, I mean, he had a fantastic outing. I don't think the Cubs, you know, the only thing the Cubs could ask for more is if he would have thrown a complete game. So.
I mean, I, my wife and I were driving around, and then we had to go do some errands not far to the in-law. Baby was sleeping, so we just kind of kept cruising because we didn't want to wake her up. But pretty much listened to the whole game in the car. And like you said, it would have been nice, but at the same token, I don't think it would have been in their best interest to just push them the full 9 innings. I don't know. I feel like where they were in Baltimore, it was probably a little bit easier to kind of come in for him, maybe less stress than being at Wrigley. Also, the fact that, you know, he's how perfect to start your time with the Cubs against the American League team. And then, oddly, I'm sure you heard that, well, I don't know if you were watching TV, I was listening to the radio broadcast, they posed the question, who was the last guy to have his Cubs debut and strike out 12 in 2011? Do you know who that was, Big Jack? I know you know who that was.
You know what's weird is I saw this. Yeah, I saw it. I didn't remember. Hey, I used Matt Garza on FanDuel yesterday. So that was something I never thought I would ever say before or ever thought I would say is I'm going with Matt Garza. And I went with Matt Garza yesterday. He did okay. So the bullpen kind of cost him open there. So,
Saturday, I was working outside all day, and I had, you know, the local on the radio, and I was just amazed at the amount of Cubs fans who were really maybe on the fence, but kind of not really into the trade. And then there was a handful of White Sox fans who really thought the Cubs got ripped off, and it was, you know, not in their favor. And I'm like, come on, guys, this was a great trade, perfect trade, and I loved it from the beginning. You know, we talked about it on Thursday. The 200 innings, he's going to go at least 6-7 innings, which I think is what he absolutely needed, and he proved it. You know, just because, and I don't like to say that wins and losses don't matter, but when it matters to a sense, but you have to also look at the team he's on, and they don't always matter when you're on a losing team.
No, you know, I mean, let's face it. He could have sued the White Sox for lack of support. You know, he's had more no decisions than any pitcher the last, I think, 3 seasons. So, you know, but you know, as the weekend went for the Cubs, you know, they had the big sweep. Now, what I'm trying to figure out here is, if the Cubs righting the ship, or the Orioles just being bad. Where do you stand on that?
I think they were riding the ship, and I do think the Orioles were just really bad too. I think it was a combo. You know, I mean, I don't really want to look at the negative. Like, oh, the Orioles quite bad. I think the situation definitely was bigger. And if they started out on the road, I think it was a big time.
Yeah, I thought, because, you know, obviously I heard both sides overnight, and, you know, it was kind of like, you know, and I think Wilson Contreras actually came out today and said that he thinks the Cubs are, you know, have kind of righted their ways now. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see how that works out. But, you know, obviously a little of both. You know, everybody's like, oh yeah, you know, they're ready now and they're going to take off and, you know, all that stuff. And then, you know, the other people who are like, well, you know, the Orioles are actually, I believe they're tied for last place currently in the AL East, but they, you know, they still have a good offense. It's really just been their pitching that's kind of struggled. So, you know, to see the Cubs do that against them, I thought was pretty decent. But yeah, I don't know. I think I'm still kind of in between. I'm not sure if they're right yet. You know, they're going to Atlanta now. The Braves have been hot. They actually they swept their 3-game series coming out of the break. God, I forgot who they played. But yeah, they got a three-game win, you know, winning streak going. So we'll see how it works out tonight. I think that'll be a little better little better, you know, idea of what's going on then. I want to see if John Lester can come back from, you know, the worst outing of his career. Yeah, thank you, Arizona, they beat.
Yeah, I mean, he did have the absolute worst outing of his career, but there was a couple of games last year where he only went 3 or 4 innings. So, found it happen, unfortunately.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I you know, I get it. It's one of those things, but I mean, this was just horrendous. You know, when it came to that, I mean, it was, you know, Trevor Bauer basically had the same outing yesterday for the Indians, except he didn't give up. Yeah, I don't think he ended up giving up 10 runs. He gave up quite a few, but not quite 10. So, you know, we'll see how it goes. But I think, you know, he'll be just fine. But what I'm also wondering about, since we're, you know, kind of on baseball and we're looking around, you know, the Yankees just had to say goodbye to Michael Pineda. You know, he's going for Tommy John, so too bad for him, especially he's going into a free agent year, and he was having a pretty solid year. It looked like he was going to get paid. Now, you know, you look at the Yankees, and this is still a really young team. You know, they've struggled a little, you know, like out of the break. Aaron Judge is, I think, 1 for 18. So you got to wonder if it's the jinx of the home run hitting contest. They're still in third place. They're 47-43. Now, you know, obviously being New York, everybody's going to want them to go and try to win here. You know, they're 3.5 games out of first place. Do they need to deal some of these young guys to get themselves a starting pitcher and try to contend, or do you think maybe they're better off just holding serve and, you know, just trying to go about it that way? Oh, okay. Dan had to vacate me for a little bit there. I did not know that. Good thing I checked. But yeah, you know, just it kind of puts the Yankees in an interesting spot. I mean, they've acquired, you know, a pretty good amount of young talent. But, you know, obviously, if you're gonna make one of these deals, that's what you're gonna have to give up is one of your younger guys. And I mean, I don't know if that point, if that's the, you know, the thing they need to be looking to do. I mean, I know they've, you know, a little issue, you know, Matt Holliday is going to have to play a lot at first base now. It looks like Greg Bird is going to have surgery and he'll probably be done for the year. They went out and who did they, I'm trying to remember, they traded for, was it Tyler Garrett from Milwaukee? So, you know, he'll play a little at first, but you know, losing Pineda out of that rotation is going to be a big spot. I know Sabathia pitched really well yesterday in game one. You know, Severino's been decent. You wonder how the innings are going to pile up on him. Jordan Montgomery's kind of in that same boat. You know, these are guys who haven't logged a ton of innings. Tanaka was okay yesterday. He wasn't good. He wasn't bad. He kept him in the game. So that's, you know, what you kind of need to do. You know, they got Starlin Castro back, so that's a big help if he's healthy. But, yeah, I just wonder, you know, where, you know, I can't see them giving up, you know, a Clint Frazier for a starting pitcher. I don't think that makes a lot of sense for them right now. You know, I know their fans are going to want to, you know, hey, you know, let's go do this, let's go win this, blah, blah, blah. But I think if you can, you know, kind of ride out the year and maybe, you know, maybe you don't make it this year. And I mean, yeah, I get it. It would stink, you know, one of those things, but you know, I just think in the long run, it could be better for this team. If they could, weather this without having to give up the future to get this done. And I really can't see why they wouldn't be able to do it. Obviously, again, like I said, that Pineda loss is going to be tough, and I'm wondering how they're going to fill it. I think is it Brandon Mitchell that I think is getting the start tonight, or was it Brian Mitchell? So maybe he's the first guy up to get a look at to see if, he can handle the spot. I've heard that, Gleyber Torres is hurt, so they probably won't be, won't be seeing him. But they have some pitching prospects on their list here. They have James Caprilin. I'm going with that. I don't even know if that's right. He's 23. Oh, okay. He's got Tommy John surgery. How are you a top prospect if you got Tommy John surgery? All right. We got Justin Sheffield. I think he's Gary's nephew. He's been pitching at Double A, 16 starts, 7-5 with a 3.06 or 3.09 ERA. Maybe he's an option, somebody to take a look at. What do we have here? We have Chance Adams, who's actually pitching in AAA currently, 6-3 with a 2.45 ERA and 12 starts. Maybe he's a guy they take a look at. They go and, take a gander at one of those guys, and maybe see Sheffield's left-handed. So, you can always kind of plug that guy into the spot and see how it goes. But yeah, I wonder. No, I think it's his nephew, Justin. So yeah. He's a Yankee prospect. I want to say it's his nephew. But yeah, I'm just kind of wondering, with Pineda gone now, what they're going to do for rotation spot, or if they're going to have to trade somebody.
Yeah. Well, they're still trying to make the run for it. I almost had a golden day yesterday. I don't know if you would call it that, but I really needed Tanaka to get the W. It would have been the first time I would have had two pitchers on the same team pull a doubleheader.
that would have been fun for you. So yeah, mm-hmm. I'm just kind of looking. I can't see them. They've come so far. I just can't see them giving up a Clint Frazier to get a starting pitcher.
No.
I know they need somebody, and I know the. What is it tonight? I want to say it's Brian Mitchell tonight, I think, is getting the start. Yeah, Brian Mitchell. But they're listing now, I think this is Luis. I always got to double check these names with some of these guys. Yeah, Luis Sessa as the fifth starter right now. He's made 3 starts, 6 games total. He's 0-3 with a 4.18 ERA. So, maybe he can fill the void or just kind of get them through. But yeah, unless you can get a really good deal where you don't have to give up a Frazier or obviously Gleyber Torres, you don't have to give away one of those guys, maybe you pick up a guy who fits at the bottom of the rotation. But I don't think the Yankees break this up. I think it would be stupid if they broke it up. So,
well, didn't you say Torres would be playing third next year? Well, that's kind of where it looks like it's leaning.
Yeah. They're trying to figure out is, I know in, I think it was the World Base, might have been the World Baseball Classic or somewhere, Torres actually played second base. So they're wondering if he'll play second and Castro will go to third, or if Torres will be the guy who ends up taking over at third. So, decisions they'll have to make.
I mean, Big Deck, how long have we been talking about Castro getting pushed over to third? I mean, of course, this was in the Yankees.
Yeah.
This was when Cubs were doing all their drafting. And, he had the height. I just felt like he fit that position, especially with the hits. I know he wasn't, a super power hitter, in which unfortunately, the way the game is, everybody's supposed to be a power hitter, you know, including the pitcher. But I think that would, I don't know, the experiment I think would work. And I think with the way Castro is, I think Castro gets hurt when he's moved around, but I think he's stable when he's stable in a position for the season. I think that's when he performs. I wouldn't mind seeing him at third.
Yeah, and he actually is in double digits already this year for home runs. So, yeah. He's probably going to end up setting a career high like a whole lot of guys are going to. So.
Now, the one other team, obviously you watched the game, and on Saturday, the people I was listening to just kept getting texts, and I don't know if they tweet, but they text on air a lot, with Frazier to the Red Sox. Now, that didn't happen yet. Do you think that's going to happen? Or, does Boston really have – I don't want to say does Boston really have – did the White Sox already get what they wanted out of Boston?
Yeah, I think that maybe the question is, I know the Red Sox had a really good farm system when they made the trade with the White Sox, but the question is what's left. I mean, if there's not a more perfect deal set up, I honestly don't know what is. I mean, the Red Sox are going to need a third baseman. You can't go through with Devin Marrero and Xu Wing Lee and then even Brock Holt when he comes back. You're going to need a guy. Frazier's probably the best available on the market because I don't think the A's are going to give you Ryan Healy, and I think he's been playing a lot of first base anyways. So, yeah, you just – this looks like the perfect deal, but so did David Robertson to the Nationals, and the Nationals went another way. So I guess you gotta kind of wonder, but let's see what the Red Sox got left here. Now I know their number one prospect, interestingly enough, is a third baseman. He apparently isn't ready to come up and take the job. That's Rafael Devers. They're planning on him being up next year to be their starter. And, that even makes the fit with Todd Frazier even more perfect because he's only got this year left on his contract. So, they probably wouldn't have to give up, a top guy or two to get him. So I'm sure, they probably have some prospects that they would be willing to part with. In the 30, out of their top 30, maybe their top 20, depending on what the White Sox like. Because with just having the year left on his contract, they're not going to give him, anything too major. So, it seems like the perfect fit. But, we'll kind of have to. We'll kind of have to wait and see how other things kind of fall out. I mean, I'm trying to think, the Padres, I'm trying to think of the teams that are struggling. I don't think the Padres really have a third baseman of Frazier's ilk. I don't see the Phillies trading Mikel Franco. The only thing that might possibly happen would be if Detroit would be willing to deal Castellanos because, the Red Sox general manager is Dave Dombrowski. His job before that was Tigers general manager. So he has a working relationship there with Al Avila. Maybe that's something they would work out. I think contract would have to decide that because, again, I think the Red Sox are only looking for a guy for this year. But, yeah, it sure seems like the perfect fit, doesn't it?
The more you talk about it, yeah. I mean, I didn't realize they had a guy. But that's the other thing. Who do they really want to give anything up for him? Or what would they that would really fit into the White Sox system?
Yeah, you know, and I mean, I think at this point, you know, the Sox, you know, it would probably, my guess would be it would probably have to be maybe a top 30 prospect, you know, but it could only be one guy and then maybe a couple throw-ins like they got with the Cubs for Quintana. You know, like they got two top guys and then the other two guys were just kind of throw-ins to the deal that you're like, well, maybe these guys pan out, maybe they don't. You know, but yeah, I think, you know, if they do that, if they give the Sox, say, a top 30 guy and then just another guy, you know, who could be something, you never know. You know, maybe that's enough to get the deal done. But yeah, I don't see the Red Sox going into their top five prospects going, yeah, we'll give you this guy for him. You know, because again, you're just getting a half a year. It's not like, you know, Boston's not going to bring Frazier back. They don't need to bring him back if this prospect is ready. So, but, you know, they need some power. You know, obviously they never were quite able to replace David Ortiz's home run power. And I mean, I guess that's really no surprise. It's David Ortiz. That's what he did, was hit home runs. You know, Mitch, I think Mitch Moreland's done a better job than people expected, but, you know, he's not a home run hitter. You know, he's got quite a few doubles, though. He's done very well. I think they were hoping for a little more out of Sam Travis, but I'm not quite sure they got what they expected there yet. But, you know, they have time with him. He's still a young kid. So, yeah, it'll be interesting. I mean, I think, let me double check it here before I throw that out there. Yeah, Mookie Betts actually leads the team in home runs with 17. So they don't have, you know, kind of an exclusive power hitter that Todd Frazier would be. You know, he's a 30, almost 40 homer a year guy. Even though, you know, you're going to get a 200 average, a 220 average out of them. But in, you know, in a lineup like the Red Sox, you know, they can handle that. You know, they got, you know, Pedroia's hitting over 300. Your guy Xander Bogaerts is right there, 299. So, you know, they could carry a guy who's going to hit home runs like that. So I don't think it would be, you know, too big of an issue to plug him right in that lineup. And, you know, he's always been healthy through his career. You know, he's another one of those guys who plays all the time. And, you know, he's a good defender. He's a plus defender. So, you know, you could even add that in. But, yeah, you know, on the other end, I was sad to see Pablo go. I don't think Pablo really got a fair shake there. But
no, he didn't.
You know, but he's making a lot of money. So
it didn't work out.
Yeah, you know, he'll get paid a lot of money. You know, they still owe him quite a bit of cash. So I think Pablo will be okay. So, you know, but yeah, it's, you know, it's getting to that time where these teams got to kind of start looking and trying to decide, you know, okay, you know, where are we going? You know, how, what, you know, what do we need? How are we shaking this out? And, you know, it'll get interesting for the, you know, these other teams. Cause you know, the Padres, surprisingly, you know, like guys like Trevor Cahill and Julie Chassin have had really solid starts. And you wonder if maybe a contender is going to come calling and try to add them as a fifth starter or maybe even a bullpen long guy with you know, the years they've had. You know, I mentioned Brad Hand before, who's one of the better left-handed relievers in the game. You got to figure San Diego's looking to deal him, you know, as a setup guy. So I think, you know, we'll start to see some action here now, you know, that the Cubs have made a move and the Nationals have made a move. You know, I mean, we'll have to see, you know, will the Brewers jump at Sonny Gray? You know, that seems to be another one of the hot rumors, but seems like everybody wants Sonny Gray, doesn't it?
I mean, it seems like everyone in the media wants everyone to want Sonny Gray. I get it. There was 20, basically 10 teams were out there scouting him over the weekend. Which team wasn't? The Cubs. But, you know, that's what you have to do. You got to send your scout out to see how he can perform this and that. And that's 10 teams, including Toronto, which I think everyone was baffled by. But just because 10 teams went out, I mean, who's to say all 10 of them are really interested? You know, out of those 10, maybe 9 of them are, excluding the Blue Jays, but then maybe only two are. And given his history, I mean, you can use all the saber metrics you want to try to project whatever you want to project. But at the end of the day, again, this is a guy who's going to spend somewhere between a quarter to half the time he is with you on the DL. And you're also, you know, maybe I shouldn't go out on a limb, but I mean, I guess it works in this new Major League Baseball where pitchers are really only expected to go five in a third innings. You and I talked about it. Doesn't that kind of drop you down to the fifth man to where you're almost in the bullpen day role where you pitch five and the other guy pitches five before?
Yeah.
I don't know. I really don't see a team giving up a whole lot to get this guy.
Yeah, you know, I think that's going to be the deciding factor, because, you know, the A's are going to want a lot. They're going to want a Quintana-like deal for him. You know, he's got a lot of controllable years left. So they're, you know, that's going to be the deal. You're probably looking at two top prospects and at least one other throw-in guy like that. It's going to be interesting to see which team might make that move. I mean, he does fit with Milwaukee because he is controllable. And they have a good farm system, but again, you've got to decide, you know, how much is too much to give up for an off injured, decent pitcher.
Because, I mean, either way you look at it, it's the Brewers, even the Cubs, everyone's still throwing his name with the Cubs. You pick him up, this doesn't guarantee you anything. The A's didn't make any kind of run because of Sonny Gray.
No, he wasn't. Well, you know, he was a little young when they were in the playoffs that one year when they made the Samardzija-Jason Hamill deal. But, you know, you wonder, you know, like I know the Astros have been mentioned. I got to tell you, like, if I'm a team like Houston, now that it's been reported that Detroit is willing to pick up some of Justin Verlander's money, I think I'm more interested in him because I've got a young team, especially a young pitching staff, that could use a veteran starter like Verlander. I mean, imagine Verlander is your number four. You know, I know he's not what he used to be, but, you know, I mean, you've got Keuchel's coming back. He's making his first rehab start. You got McCullers tonight. I know Colin McHugh made what was his last rehab start last night. So they're getting their guys back. They're getting them healthy. Just imagine Verlander sitting there as a number four who can go out and, I mean, can keep you in games. And then some days he's still dominant. You know, that seems like it would make a little more sense. And I get it. Everybody wants, this guy's got controllable years. So he's so much more. I don't think you're going to have to give up as much to get a Justin Verlander, as weird as it is to say, as you would a Sonny Gray.
Yeah.
You know, because Billy Bean is going to hold you hostage. He's trying to rebuild that team. So.
Yeah. Well, I mean, a team that I think would be willing or not willing, maybe a little bit more apt and fit their position better with taking a risk on a guy like Sonny Gray would be a full-fledged contender. You mentioned the Astros, and I immediately think Washington and the Dodgers.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know what Washington would have left, but I mean, even with the Dodgers, the way their system, you know, their pitchers kind of come and go, I mean, how nice of a fit would he be there?
Yeah, you would think. I mean, you know, he kind of fits into the off, you know, they have a lot of off-injured pitchers as well. He would just kind of be another one to add there. So, but like I know we were talking about the Yankees a little bit earlier. I mean, if they're going to add a pitcher, you know, maybe they go to the Rangers who are, you know, I know they're still contending in the wild card, but, you know, Yu Darvish is going to be a free agent. He probably wouldn't cost you too much. You know, maybe you go out and you rent Yu Darvish for a year if you don't have to give up too much to get him. And you see if, you know, adding him to your rotation in place of like a Pineda, you know, could help you, you know, get yourself back in it. Because I know Tampa Bay is contending right now, but I don't really think they're going to go out and buy. I think they're going to go with the team they have. That's always kind of been their mantra. You know, maybe they'll add a lower tier starter. But yeah, they're not going to go out and make a big splash for, you know, a Gray or a Verlander or anybody like that. But yeah, you know, I think maybe a team like that, or even like maybe the Twins, if it doesn't cost you too much, you make that call to Texas and see if they would be willing to move Darvish. You know, you got him for a half year and see if you can find your way into the playoffs.
And they could take Buxton or your guy, yeah. Berrios.
Or a Dodgers. You know, the Dodgers, obviously, they have a really good farm system. You know, they could make any of these moves. You know, the Dodgers have the farm system to do it. If they want to go get Gray or Verlander or Darvish, or, you know, maybe they decide Gerrit Cole is a target now because Pittsburgh is, you know, 7 games out in the division and 8 out in the wild card. You know, he's another controllable guy. You know, imagine adding Gerrit Cole behind Clayton Kershaw and Rich Hill. You know, that's not a bad 3-man rotation running out there. You know, I heard some rumors today, I think it was on Intentional Talk, that teams have actually contacted the Giants about Jeff Samardzija. Are you interested in Samardzija?
That's the thing that killed me. I mean, I picked him up. I got him in a trade in one fantasy league from a guy who remains to be unnamed. And another guy that I was actually looking for from you, who I might actually end up dropping. I don't know why I make trades with you, because I end up dropping the guys I get from you. this is the way it works out. But, you know, it killed me to see, you know, to turn it on after I got home and the Cubs game was done and over with. I turned that on, or was it Saturday during the race? I don't remember. Well, either way, I turned it on. And the Giants are getting demolished. I'm like, great, here we go again. Here's another loss. But then I go and I check the stats afterwards, and I think he still got you like 8 or 9, got me 8 or 9 strikeouts. So I'm like, as much as I want to, you know, try to give him up, you know, that's the reason I kind of went to you for him, because I knew that those strikeout numbers would still be high.
Yeah, and, you know, that was the tough part about, because, you know, I know I kind of hemmed and hawed about making that deal. That was the difficult part about giving him up, because I actually have a really solid pitching staff in that league we made the deal in, and his strikeouts were the big thing that he was giving. You know, I thought I saw his, you know, his K per 9 innings is like 11 or something like that, and that's just huge.
Well,
so,
they posted that,
you know, it.
During one of the games I was watching one night, and I think he was the top of the leaderboard with that stat.
Yeah, and you wonder, you know, if he goes to a contender, he gets a little more support. You know, you wonder how he would do.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, here's one before we run out of time that I just thought was hilarious, so I guess we'll talk about it tomorrow.
Can you get it in real quick?
An art fan. I thought that was hilarious.
Oh. I thought they were gonna get Dexter Fowler back. All right, well, I'm sure Dan and I'll talk some more about this tomorrow when we get here at 5:30 live to do it all again. You know the deal while we're gone. SportsTimeRadio.com. Check out what's going on over there. Follow the link over to the Facebook page. Give that a like. Don't forget the Twitter feed, which is @SportsTimeRadio. You can find Dan and I on Twitter as well. As always, we really appreciate you listening to us live, but don't forget, you can get the podcast anytime you want at tunein.com.
SportsTimeRadio.com.